Brethren, let's open our devotional meeting this afternoon with the singing of hymn number 109. 109, I know no life divided. We'll rise for the singing of the last verse and be led in opening prayer by Brother Edmund Jesuit. Hymn number 109.
Loving Father, we come into thy hallowed courts with love and praise and thanksgiving. We thank thee for the greatest of all gifts, that unspeakable gift, the gift of thy Son, the only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank thee for our relationship to thee, that we have thee as our God, whom we can worship in spirit and in truth. We thank thee for our sonship, that we have the pleasure of calling thee our Father. And we're able to have our elder brother who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We thank thee for the privilege we have of running in this race of the high calling in Christ, as thou hast made so many provisions for us, providing a beautiful robe of righteousness that is able to cleanse us, we're able to stand acceptable in thy sight. We're thankful for that armor that is protecting us in this evil day, able to ward off all the darts of our adversary. We thank thee for all the ministries of our guardian angels who are always working on our behalf within thy providences. And now, Father, we would ask thy special blessing upon this service. We've come here not only to honor thee and honor thy Son, but to be built up in the faith. And so we would ask thy blessing upon this service as we sing praises to thee, as we talk of thy goodness to us, and we continue to long for that kingdom on earth. Help us to be able to fulfill our covenant with thee by sacrifice, that we may eventually be part of that world's great high priest and have the wonderful privilege of working with thee, working with thy Son, and fulfilling that wonderful promise that was made to Abraham and blessing all the families of the earth. And so we continue to pray for that kingdom. And now, Father, we leave this meeting in thy care, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
For this afternoon's devotional, I've assembled a collection of readings on the subject of the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. And I expect that these readings and singings will take about the first 30 minutes of our devotional hour this afternoon. It's hard to know exactly how long readings and singings will take. But I hope that during the latter half hour, the last 30 minutes of our hour together, that we'll have time for each of you to offer your individual personal devotions, perhaps reading of a scripture, a request for prayer, leading us in a group prayer on behalf of someone that you know has need, a testimony, a request for love to be sent with you as you may travel, and so on. So we'll open the meeting to your personal expression of devotions at about halfway through our hour. The theme, as I said, of this afternoon's devotional is the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. And that phrase is familiar to many of us. It comes from my morning resolve. The morning resolve begins, as you know, with a quotation of Psalm 116, 12 through 14. My earliest thought I desire shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. I will pay my vows unto the Most High. And then further down in my morning resolve is the paragraph that reads, I will seek to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, the brethren, and all with whom I have to do, not only in great matters, but also in the little things of life. And this expression, the Lord, the truth, and the brethren, is one that we often use. It sort of summarizes the focus of our life in desiring to be faithful in service to the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. And so in each of these three divisions of our thoughts for the first part of our devotional, the Lord, the truth, and the brethren, I've broken them down with some scriptures and poems or reprint or other references to read along with them. And our very first scripture is one that Brother Edmund quoted almost word for word in his opening prayer, John 3:16. Let's turn to John 3:16. We'll ask Sister Marcy Martin, would you please read for us John 3:16?
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
And also, Sister Marie Jesuit, another scripture from that same book, would you please read John 1:12?
John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
The first important aspect of the Lord we want to consider is believing him or believing on him. And you notice that word is present in both of these texts that we've read. Believing him, believing on him. In reprint page 1006, there's a reference that speaks of our belief on the Lord Jesus and some of what it includes. We'll ask Sister Donna Whitaker to read that portion from reprint 1006.
His name was called Jesus, which signifies Savior or Liberator. Matthew 1:21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hence we see that it is to them that receive him in the sense of believing in him as their Savior or Liberator, that he gives now the liberty of becoming sons of God, none others. Believing that such a person lived at such a time is not the kind of belief which brings the liberty. Believing that he was a fine man who taught many excellent precepts is not the kind of belief necessary. Believing that he set a good example and that all should try to follow it as best they can, is not the belief demanded here. No, it is a different belief, a belief in and recognizing of his name, Savior. The recognition and acceptance of him as the one who saves his people from their sins. No one who rejects the Bible account of the fall and condemnation of all in Adam and the utter loss of sonship and all its privileges, life, etc., can possibly receive and believe in this Savior or Liberator who by redeeming them grants them liberty or privilege to become sons of God. But is it only to believers in his name that our Lord grants this privilege? Only these. Belief in no other person will do, nor will the acceptance of our Lord by any other name than the one which acknowledges his ransom sacrifice avail. He must be recognized as Savior, and not merely as Lord and guide. He saves his people from their sins that are past, as well as teaches and guides them to abhor and avoid sin for the future.
Believing him and knowing him and understanding his life and the opportunity that we have to follow in his footsteps causes us to bring ourselves to him in sacrifice. There's a beautiful poem that expresses these thoughts entitled, Lord, Here I Bring Myself. We'll ask Sister Linda Larson to please read that poem.
Lord, here I bring myself. 'Tis all I have to give. My heart's desire is wholly this, henceforth for thee to live. To own no will but thine, to suffer loss or shame, all things to bear, if only I may glorify thy name. henceforth my every power each day for thee to use, my hands, my feet, my lips, mine all, as thou, my Lord, shalt choose. Dear Lord, my constant prayers for increase of grace, that I, by faith, may walk with thee till I behold thy face.
So our first subheading under our Lord is believing him. And our second is consider him. Let's turn to Hebrews 12:3. Sister Elfrida Gadelis, would you please read Hebrews 12:3?
For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds.
There's a beautiful reprint article entitled, Consider Him, Lest Ye Be Wearied, and it uses this text as its golden or theme text. We'll ask Sister Joanna Knox to read a portion of reprint 4802.
To consider him seems to be to take note of, to have in mind, to reflect upon, and not to easily forget, how our Lord endured various trials and oppositions of sinners against himself. In our own experiences, we have, as the Lord's followers, endured some of the opposition of sin and sinners against ourselves. But we have not yet resisted unto blood. We have not yet passed through the trying experiences through which he passed. When we remember that while we are poor, imperfect creatures like our neighbors, he was holy, harmless, undefiled, then it is good to reflect that he endured patiently the opposition of sinners. When trying experiences came to him, he did not consider them as being merely from the individual with whom they originated, but as being, on the other hand, under the supervision of the Father. If, therefore, the Father permitted such experiences to come to him, he was bound to prove his loyalty by patient endurance. As he said, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? So it is with us, spiritual Israel. The Lord your God proveth you. In proportion as we are able to take our Lord's viewpoint in our experiences in life, we may be calm. If the Father permits trying experiences for our testing, or for the testing or proving of others, in ways we may not understand, it is for us to rejoice to have his will done.
Believe him, consider him, and our third subdivision under our first subject of the Lord is to confess him. Our text is 1 John 4:15. Sister Kathy Miguez, would you please read 1 John 4:15?
Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God.
There's a reprint reference with a subheading, Confess Me Before Men, on page 5390. And we'll ask Brother Kevin Taylor to read that excerpt from 5390.
Whoever would be in accord with God must confess him and must confess Jesus, his representative, whom he sent into the world. Whoever confesses Jesus confesses the Father who sent him. And all such will be in the Lord's favor and ultimately be acknowledged in the resurrection by the Father and the holy angels as members of the bride of Christ. But those who, after becoming disciples of Christ, deny him, he will not acknowledge as disciples in glory. Jesus' words were addressed to the disciples, not to the masses. Whoever would confess Christ would become his disciple. None could deny him who had never acknowledged him. He is to be confessed not merely by baptism, nor by any outward form. He is to be confessed in the life, in the conduct, in the words of his followers. They are to have his spirit and to show forth the praises of him who hath called him out of darkness into his marvelous light. Whoever makes a profession of being a disciple and then ignores the Master's teaching misrepresents him, slanders him, denies him, and will not share in the glorious presentation of the bride in the end of this age.
Concluding the first of our three major topics of our devotional this afternoon, then, is the Lord, believing Him, considering Him, and confessing Him. Let's sing together the first and last verses of hymn 107. And I chose this one because of some of the words in the chorus. You'll notice it says, "We believe and receive and confess Him." I couldn't find a hymn that said, "We believe, consider Him, and confess Him." But these words seem to come close enough. So let's sing together hymn 107, the first and last verses. Again is the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. We've subdivided the second part of that outline, the truth, into two, doctrines and principles. Our theme text on the division of the truth as doctrines is John 17:17. Sister Rebecca Larson, would you please read that for us? John 17:17.
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
We have two readings on this text. The first is taken from Harvest Gleanings 2, page 169. We'll ask Sister Lorraine Zuck to read that for us.
The mistake of some people is to suppose that to have a Bible in their possession is to have the truth in their possession. A great mistake. The Bible is not the truth. It is merely the expression of the truth. Whoever would have the truth must get it through the word directly or indirectly, but the truth is the spirit of the word, its meaning, its intention, its real essence. In proportion as any Christian has attained to a knowledge of the truth, in that same proportion he has attained the power which, rightly used, would produce sanctification in his heart and his life. In proportion to his lack of the truth, must be his lack of the necessary power of God provided for his sanctification. If all Christians could realize this, what a searching of the Scriptures there would be. What an endeavor to get at their real spiritual essence or meaning on the part of those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, who are seeking to be more and more at one with God.
And our second reading is taken from reprint page 5320. Brother Mark Tabak, please.
Truth that sanctifies. This sanctifying truth is not to be viewed from the standpoint of general knowledge, for this truth is not for the world, is not intended for them. It is for the consecrated, for those who have become God's children. It is the kind of truth that God gives His family. The Apostle Paul says that God has called us according to his purpose, that in the end he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:7. God has a purpose which will be fully exhibited in future ages in the further development of his great plan. God had a special purpose when he called and set apart a special class. The special truth which does that sanctifying work is the truth of his great plan of the ages. He does not make it known to all at once. The revelation of his plan has been going on for centuries. Some of these revelations have come to us through the prophets, some through Jesus, and some through the apostles. These revelations constitute the heavenly provision for sanctification. It is necessary, however, that we have the plan and something more than the plan also. The various other things are to be considered, although this truth is the channel of sanctification. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. If one were caring for a babe, for instance, she would think about its food, fresh air, exercise, and so forth. So it is with God's people. Truths are gradually opened up to their observation. Our Father leads us out into various experiences in order to have our senses exercised. Our experiences and providences cause us to think, to appreciate, to study, to inquire. And as we do so, we develop by means of these experiences and providences. We are led to consider, what does this experience mean, and what does that one teach?
I especially appreciated the latter part of that reading, where it speaks of how our understanding of the truth leads us to study and inquire and develop by means of our experiences, wanting to know what they mean, and developing by them the principles of the truth that will guide us in our life. And that is the second subdivision of the truth as principles. And our first reading under this subheading is from reprint page 4803. Sister Roberta Tabak, please.
While seeking to follow the various specific commands of Scripture, let us seek more and more to understand and come in sympathy with the principles which underlie the divine law. These will enable us to judge of the right and the wrong of such of our words, thoughts, and acts as may not be particularly specified in the Lord's Word. Indeed, as we come to understand and sympathize with the principles of divine law, to that extent we are getting the spirit of the divine word. Note the testimony of the psalmist on this point. Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day.
Our final reading on this second subheading of The Truth is a poem. We'll ask Sister Valerie Weeks to read the poem entitled, The Greatest Thing.
A man may gather the gold of health, a man may husband the things of wealth. A man may shine in a galaxy and climb the hills of prosperity, may win his course through life's crested foam and steer his ship to the port of home. But to stand for truth and to love it too is the greatest thing a man can do. A man may think with the strength of five, reveal to all that he's alive. He may achieve with the will of ten and prove himself in the world of men. May set a record for nerve and brawn, for such his prowess may look upon. But to hold the truth and to serve it too is the strongest thing that a man can do. A man may glow in sage's sphere, may publish these profound and clear, may learnedly speak of the greater stars, or planets like Venus, the Earth, and Mars, may tell of the cities of early time, Rome's and Thebes, or Babylon in its prime, but to know truth star, which is the old and new, is the sagest thing that a man can do. A man may stand on this mundane ball as one whose honor will never fall, lighting the plain mediocrity or touching with faith the world's destiny. He may win praise for his noble worth and princely shine in affairs of earth. But to stand for truth and to be ever true is the noblest thing that a man can do. A man may be grand in many a way, stately and fair as the break of day, gentle, patient, urbane, brave, and the and the crest of courtesy o'er him wave, and others may tell of his regal mien, and justice and right his conduct seen. But to live for truth in a life that's true is the grandest thing that a man can do.
The way the poem is typeset, of course you can only see this if you have it before you, is that in that very last stanza, after going through all the wise things, the noble things, the strong things a man could do, set in all capital letters are the words, "But to live for truth in a life that's true." And then the last line, of course, is the grandest thing that a man can do. Let's close our consideration of this second portion of our overall outline with the singing together of the first and last verse of hymn 130, 130, first and last. I chose this hymn because it opens with the words, "I want a principle within." And after we've learned the doctrines of the truth, that's what we need to do, to have the principles of them within us. Hymn 130, first and last. Moving to the third part of our overall outline, the Lord, the truth, and now the brethren, we have one scriptural passage that breaks this down into the two subheadings we want to consider, and they are what not to do and what to do in service to our brethren. The passage is Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. We'll ask Brother Brett Blackwell to read those for us. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32.
Ephesians 4:31, 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
So what we are not to do, of course, is to be bitter or wrathful or anger or speak evil of our brethren. And a reprint reference along that line is 5974. We'll ask Sister Donna Cook to read that for us. Reprint 5974.
Not having the right or the ability to judge the heart of another, we should be very slow to anger and very careful how we express ourselves. We are to remember that only the Lord has the right to punish. The Lord's people should strive against all these weaknesses, these blemishes of the flesh, which are stimulated by the adversary and his hosts, anger, wrath, strife, malice, hatred. We should fear these things as we would a plague. What carefulness, what scrutiny of ourselves, what earnest prayer for help this thought should bring. How we should guard our tongues against evil speaking, backbiting, slander, for this is the fruit of lovelessness and malice. And in guarding our tongues, we must remember that it is from the heart that these evil words proceed. Therefore, our heart must be made and kept so loyal to Christ, so in tune with God's Holy Spirit, that it will not send forth any such bitter waters. The psalmist says, "Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth." See also St. Paul's counsel to Titus 3:2-8 and to Timothy, 1 Timothy 3:11. Oh, that this spirit of love and kindness and consideration one for another might so richly dwell in every member of the Church of Christ that each one would not only refrain from speaking evil of a brother or sister, but that it would give pain to hear a defamatory tale about anyone, and particularly about a fellow pilgrim in the narrow way. If this were the attainment of each member of all the different ecclesias, how much more closely would they be bound together in the bonds of Christian love?
The second part of the passage Brother Brett read spoke of what we should do, to be kind to one another. And along this line is an excerpt from reprint 4269. Sister Barbara Jesuit, please.
While the scriptures everywhere inculcate the thought that the Lord's people are to be generous towards strangers as well as their own people, they make common the thought that they should have a special interest in one another, as the apostle expresses in these words, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." Ah, yes, kindness is certainly one of the elements of love, as the apostle says, and tender-heartedness must characterize those who would have a participation with our Lord in his kingdom. Hardness of heart and cruelty are evidences of degradation, the loss of the image of God. The coldness and the hard-heartedness of the world make countless thousands mourn even more than their circumstances necessitate.
We have just four more short readings. The next is from reprint 1693. Sister Mickey Binda, please, along the lines of having a spirit or disposition of forgiving, as Ephesians 4:32 encouraged us to do.
Our spirit or disposition to forgive anyone should be of the heart prompted by the spirit of love and brotherly kindness. It should not be a forgiveness forced out of us by importunity, nor by the appeals of many, nor by the pity for the wrongdoer's sufferings or sorrow. It should be there pent up in our hearts, ready to pour forth upon the offender as soon as he repents and gives reasonable evidence of his sincerity. God waits to be gracious, desires to pardon sinners, and such must be our attitude toward those who trespass against us. But God always waits for repentance and never grants his pardon to those who are unrepentant, nor receives them into fellowship as friends.
As the scriptures exhorted us to do, we should put away malice and strife, we should be kind, generous, have a spirit of forgiveness for our brethren, and love them. A text along this line is John 15, 12 through 14. Brother Ted Martin, would you please read John 15, 12 through 14?
John 15, 12 through 14. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you.
A poem along the line of loving our brethren, loving our friends, is entitled, If You Have a Friend Worth Loving. Sister Millie Zatko will read that poem for us.
If you have a friend worth loving, love him. Yes, and let him know that you love him. Ere life's evening ting his brow with sunset glow, why should good words ne'er be said of a friend till he is dead? If you hear a song that thrills you, sung by any child of song, praise it. Do not let the singer wait deserve praises long. Why should one who thrills your heart lack the joy you may impart? If you hear a prayer that moves you by its humble pleading tone, join it. Do not let the seeker bow before his God alone. Why should not your brother share the strength of two or three in prayer? If you see the hot tears falling from a brother's weeping eyes, share them. And by kindly sharing one's own kinship in the skies, why should anyone be glad when a brother's heart is sad? If a silver laugh goes rippling through the sunshine on his face, share it. 'Tis the wise man's saying, for both grief and joy a place. There's health and goodness in the mirth in which an honest laugh has birth. If your work is made more easy by a friendly helping hand, say so. Speak out brave and truly ere the darkness veil the land. Should a brother workman dear falter for a word of cheer? Scatter thus your seed of kindness, all enriching as you go. Leave them. Trust the harvest giver. He will make each seed grow. So until the happy end, your life shall never lack a friend.
Our final reading from the reprints on the thought of loving the brethren is from 5948. Brother Joe Knapp, please.
As the apostle has said, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3:18. This is a personal matter. Each one of us is under this testing. If not yet, sooner or later, undoubtedly, this willingness to sacrifice in the interest of the brethren will prove each one of us is either loyal, faithful to our covenant, or contrariwise, unfaithful. Let us make this matter of love for the brethren and laying down our lives for the brethren a matter of personal study and of practical application to our own hearts, minds, thoughts, words, and actions. And let us pray for one another as well as exhort one another along these lines, striving to be filled with our Master's Spirit.
And so we have considered the three that we desire to be faithful to: the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. And I think they're listed in that order for the right reason, because that's the priority we should place on them. The Lord first, then the truth, and the brethren. And along that line of the priorities in that order, we have one last reading. It is a poem. We'll ask Sister Cheryl to read the poem, I Was Longing to Serve My Master. It's a rather lengthy one. The last stanza is, I think, the most important.
I was longing to serve my master, but alas, I was laid aside from the busy and happy workers who toiled in the field so wide. They were few, yes, few in number, and I could not understand why I should be kept inactive. It was not as I had planned. I was longing to serve my master. I knew that the work was great. For me, it was easy to labor, but oh, it was hard to wait, to lie quite still and be silent, while the song was born to mine ear of the reapers with whom I had mingled and the work to my heart so dear. I was longing to serve my master. Oh, this was my one fond thought. For this I was ever pleading when his footstool in prayer I sought. And the seasons of sweet communion were few and far apart. Not of him so much as his service were the thoughts that filled my heart. I was longing to serve my master. He led to a desert place. And there, as we stopped and rested, his eyes looked down in my face, so full of tender reproaching that filled me with sad surprise. Did he think I had grudged my service and counted it sacrifice? Oh, Master, I long to serve thee. The time is so short at best. Let me go to the field, I pleaded. I care not to stay and rest. I knelt at his feet imploring. I gazed in his face above. My child, he said gently, your service is nothing without your love. I was longing to serve my master. I thought that his greatest care was to keep all his workers busy in reaping the sheaves so fair. But there on the lonely desert, afar from the busy scene, it dawned on me slowly and sadly where the great mistake had been. My mind was so full of service, I had drifted from him apart. And he longed for the old confiding, the union of heart with heart. I sought and received forgiveness while mine eyes with tears were dim. And now, though the work is still precious, the first place is kept for him.
The first place is kept for him. So may it be with all of us as we desire to serve the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. At this time, we'd like to open the devotional service up for your own personal expressions of devotion. Again, as we said at the beginning, you have the opportunity, if you would like, to read a passage of Scripture particularly dear to you, a poem if you have one with you. Request a prayer on your behalf or behalf of someone you know is in need of prayer, a testimony, or any other form of devotion you would like to offer. Sister Rose? Hymn number 365. All right, is there one particular verse you'd like us to sing of this hymn, Sister Rose? We'll sing it now for you if you'd like.
Oh, I'd like it all.
All right, let's sing then the first and the last of 365. How great thou art, first and last. Sister Kathy, did I see your hand earlier?
I would just like to request a prayer on behalf of some brethren that I fellowshipped with last night on the phone. Many of you know the Haig family, Brother Jim and Sister Benita Haig of Columbus, or actually Springfield, Ohio. And the fact that Brother Jim's been out of work since the 1st of March. It's been about 5 months now. And they've had some very difficult experiences in that time. A couple of promising situations came up as far as his job, only to be fall through at the very last minute and not be hired. And Sister Benita lost her job in that interim, also her part-time job. However, the Lord provided another part-time job, which she's working at right now. There's also been a number of minor experiences that have happened to them. But in my conversation last night with her, she informed me that the latest experience that they're dealing with right now is the fact that her mother has a brain tumor and is going to need surgery. And the surgery is scheduled for August 20th. and her head will be shaved, and they will go in and try to remove the tumor. It has not reached her spinal cord yet, but it's causing deafness in her left ear right now. And it was because she was donating blood for the surgery that they became aware of another situation with her mother regarding her thyroid, which takes precedence over the brain surgery. It has to be dealt with first before there can be any surgery on the brain. And so there's tests going on right now, and there may be a prior surgery, but that's not confirmed yet. And in addition to that, of course, Brother McKee's heart has always been a problem, and his pacemaker is not working quite right, and he's now on a heart monitor. And they just seem to be just overwhelmed with experiences these last months. Any one of these, I'm sure, would be very difficult to deal with in itself, but the combination of them is almost unbelievable and I can't find the right words to express it, but their faith is strong and they're taking it one step at a time, but they really do need our prayers and our support and as far as cards and encouragements. If we could remember them in our prayers, I know they could really use it.
Thank you, Sister Kathy. Brother Dan Larson, would you please lead us all now to the throne of heavenly grace, bearing before our Father particularly Brother Jim and Sister Benita Haig and Sister Frances and Brother Bill McKee.
Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy most holy and precious name. We come before thee at this time to bear up our dear loved ones, the Haig family and the McKee family, that thy spirit would be with them and that they might feel thy tender care and thy watch care over them as they go through the deep waters of this life's experience. We all wish to be with thee and to feel thy tender loving care with us, and we want to bear them up at this time before thee particularly. And not only these, dear Heavenly Father, but we ask that thy spirit would be upon all thy dear ones, those that have made a covenant with thee by sacrifice, that thy spirit might abound in each and every heart, that we all might one day hear thy well done, thou good and faithful servant. So at this time we render thanks unto thee for allowing us this privilege to come into thy hallowed courts, to bear one another up before thee. And we ask that thy kingdom might be fully established here upon the earth, and that the completion of the church class might take place, and that we might all finish our course and be with thee. We do ask forgiveness of our many sins and shortcomings. In Jesus' most precious and worthy name, amen.
Who else would like to offer a devotion? Brother Mark Tabak.
Well, Roberta and I were going to be traveling and visiting some isolated brethren in Arkansas and Missouri, and I thought it'd be nice if we could take the love of the Ecclesia along with us.
How many would like to send our love along with Brother Mark and Sister Roberta? We'll expect a full report by way of a testimony when you return, so you can tell us about your travels.
Thank you.
Sister Sylvia in the back. Oh, I'm sorry. Sister Sylvia was just voting. Thank you. Would anyone else like to offer a devotion? Sister Beard.
To ask the brethren to pray on behalf of Brother Jim and Sister Linda McClugan. Both her parents have cancer, and her mother's in a wheelchair, and they have to spend a lot of their time with her parents, and they need your prayers.
Thank you very much. Brother Joe Knapp, would you please bring us as a group before the Heavenly Father, and I remember particularly Brother Jim and Sister Linda McLugan.
And Heavenly Father, knowing and counting on confidence and thy strength and thy spirit, we bring again before thee the names of our brethren, those undergoing the severe trial of cancer with both parents, that you would be with them particularly and strengthen them, that they would remain confident in thy plans and purposes for them and for all the world, and that this is but one more measure of understanding that each of us must gain into the evils that befall those who follow Satan. Help us all, Father, to be strengthened by these trials that we encounter, to see the value in them as they lead us upward and onward, closer to thy personality, closer to thy character. And help each of us, Father, be strengthened by these to complete the church soon, that thy blessings may be poured upon all mankind, and especially, Father, that thy name would be vindicated before all thy creation, who would see the depth of thy knowledge and wisdom and love for them. Please, Father, strengthen these brethren through this trial. Bring us each individually to perfection, and bring soon thy kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sister Millie Zatko.
I believe in testimony, so I better testify. But I do want to thank my Heavenly Father for his keeping. I appreciated going to the fair. I haven't been at the fair, I don't remember how many, for many, many, many years. But I had the opportunity of going with Juan Bujani, who was slow, but there was one fellow that I appreciated talking to, and it gave me the opportunity to feel within myself that I was stronger in the truth in the way that I could talk to the person. It was a man, young man about 30 years old. But, and I was only there 4 hours. It's hard for me to go any time. I do watch, I don't know, maybe just before that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are kind of days that don't give me opportunities because I babysit. But this was on a Thursday that Wanda and I went, and we went for 4 hours. But I was thinking, on the other hand, there I saw the list there with the names and who fills in the time and that. And I was surprised at how few brethren were filling, were really participating in that fair. I think Joy or Jonathan put in many, many hours, like 20 hours maybe, in the fair, because I know that they were filling up spaces that weren't being taken at all. And so I think that a lot of times we vote for things, but we aren't willing to put our fingers to the job of fulfilling what we voted for. And so I'd like to see more brethren participate in things that we vote for. In that way, you know, we feel that everybody's that voted for something really wants it. It isn't that you're voting for something and then having somebody else do it. And I thank my Heavenly Father for keeping me up to this time. And I pray for more opportunities that I may be a better witness of character to not only the brethren, but mostly to the world, that we know that we've walked with the Lord. I ask an interest in your prayer that we all may be faithful, those that are consecrated that give their life to the Lord. I ask an interest in your prayer, and I always remember my brethren before the throne of grace. Wanda had called me, and that information about Elizabeth, she gave me and asked me to give to the class. She says that Elizabeth had a sore throat for quite a while, and then she had one ear infection. Now she's got the other ear infection. That's where Wanda is now. She was spending some time with her.
Thank you, Sister Millie, for your expression of appreciation for the opportunities of witness the Lord provides and your love for him. Brother Joe Knapp.
I would just like to briefly thank the Lord for, and praise him in particular, for all the ways in which he leads and guides, and how happy he seems to be to provide an understanding and enlightenment in the various providences that come into one's life. And I like to attribute it all the clarity of what to do to him, because I've long been a believer in how he daily leads and even moment by moment leads. And as to some degree our lives, that is Pat's and mine, have become more complicated by many circumstances around us, I can have nothing but praise for him as to how he provides the guidance and the direction and ways to go and keeps so much peace in our own lives that we can feel content that we're being used of him and being faithful to what he would have us do. And that whereas on my own I would be frantic, I am completely at peace in his care. And I am so thankful to him and want to give him the praise for not only the opportunities he provides, but for the instructions and the guidance to lead us profitably through it to his glory.
Thank you, Brother Joe, for that praise from your heart. We have time for perhaps one more. Brother Beard and then Sister Marie. We'll take two and then close.
I was just wondering, if you haven't got time, though, a verse or two from hymn number 12 for my testimony.
Hymn number 12, we'll sing that one in closing. Thank you. Sister Marie, Marie Jesuit.
Dear Brother Joe and brethren, I just want to testify on behalf of Sister Ola Harvey. I don't know how many brethren know her. She's from the Indianapolis area, and she's been in the truth for many, many years. She's about 95 years old at present. And to encourage the brethren, that prayer is just helped so much. The prayer of the righteous really availeth much. And in her case, she has been trying to keep house as long as she could, but she got to the point where she was having some real bad falls. And in her early years, she had worked in nursing homes, and so she knows just about what the nursing home life is like. And so she was trying to fight this so much, and even though all the indications showed that she had to go into a nursing home, and finally she had a real bad fall just a couple of months ago, and she's in the nursing home, and it was just wonderful. I got a letter from her grandson saying that she is taking the experience very well, and she's a real light in this nursing home, and letting her light shine, and she's very she loves the truth so much, and she's so vociferous, and every opportunity she gets to speak of the truth. But it just made my heart so glad to know that she's taking the experience like she should. And and I know that it's because, and she does, she says it's because of the prayers of the friends and so her brethren. And so I ask that you continue to pray for her, that she would be faithful. She's a wonderful example.
Thank you, Sister Marie, for bringing before our minds the circumstances of some of our less well-known brethren. Brethren, let's close our devotional service and our day of worship with the singing of Brother John's choice, hymn number 12, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. We'll sing all the verses and rise for the singing of the last verse. At its conclusion, we'll ask Brother Tom Ruggiero to close our meeting and day with prayer. Hymn number 12.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of meeting together today. We pray that our day of worship have been truly praise to thee, to thy ways and to thy character. We pray, Father, that you will help us to see the importance of making our lives a source of praise to thee always. We thank you for loving us and for taking care of us. And again, we pray that you will help us to always put you first in everything that we do in life, to all the feelings that we have, and our priority is always to have you number one. We thank you for the truth you've given to us, which helps us see your character better. We thank you for the insights into your plan that you've shown to us. We pray that these may inspire us to further service and devotion to thee. We thank you too for the brethren, Father, who are so supportive and helpful of all of us, and pray that we too can contribute to the body and be a blessing to the brethren. We commit ourselves into thy loving care, knowing that's the best place to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.